Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau has seen two destructive house fires in the past week. One resulted in a man's death, and another person suffered severe injuries. The strain on local first responders prompted Cheyenne Sanchez, a member of Juneau's firefighter union, to speak out about staff shortages at Monday night's Juneau Assembly meeting.
We, the Juneau Career Firefighters, in light of this weekend's tragic house fire, have reflected a lot upon our current staffing shortage and the declining number of responders to aid in the community during the crisis.
Sanchez is with the local chapter of the International Association of Firefighters and works for Capital City Fire and Rescue. He pointed to four vacancies in the department and wages that aren't competitive enough to recruit new staff. Fire Chief Rich Etheridge says the staffing shortages mean fewer people can respond to fires.
You know, they work to the point of exhaustion, and then they go get cleaned up and get ready for the next calls.
Etheridge says wages are negotiated every 3 years between city management and the firefighters union. Currently, starting wages are between $18 and $22 an hour, with an expectation to work 56 hours a week. Negotiations for wages will start again this spring.
We have a minimum staffing every day, and we've been able to meet minimum staffing, but it usually does take mandatory overtime where people don't have a choice whether they want to work it or not.
And he says one barrier to hiring is certifications, so he plans to offer more training opportunities to certify new hires in emergency medicine and firefighting, and eliminate prerequisites. Juneau's population is declining, and young people are leading the charge. The state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development shared an update to population estimates in Alaska earlier this week. It showed that while Alaska as a whole has more people than last year's data indicated, the population in Juneau and the southeast region continues to decline. State demographer David Howell says it has a lot to do with the changing demographics in the region.
Juneau and southeast in general is quite a bit different than the state as a whole in that we are a much older population. We tend to lose people once they hit that retirement age and beyond. And so we are seeing a larger percentage of our population leaving just because they're older.
According to the data, Juneau's population in July had nearly 200 people fewer than the same time just a year before, and more than 800 people fewer since 2020. That's in line with findings from a study released by the department last month that projected Southeast Alaska will lose nearly a fifth of its population by 2050, roughly 12,000 people, or the equivalent of Ketchikan and Petersburg's population combined. By 2050, Juneau's population is expected to drop to around 27,000 people. Howell also says that the decrease likely comes from a blend of increased outmigration and fewer people having children in the region. A 2024 report by the Juneau Economic Development Council found the over 60 population in Juneau outnumbers the under 20 population. He pointed to the lack of affordable housing and childcare and the high cost of living as potential reasons why that's happening.
I'm not really sure of one thing that we could do to change these trends. I know the city is very focused on housing, and I think that, you know, it's not the cure-all, but it definitely can't hurt to have, you know, more affordable housing.
The new data shows Juneau's median age last year was 40. And between 2024 and 2020, residents under 35 dropped more than 8%, while residents 65 and older grew by a staggering 55%. And the Juneau Assembly voted to formally oppose an Alaska Board of Fisheries proposition that would limit Southeast Alaska hatchery production of pink and chum salmon by 25%. The proposition is intended to address the effects of hatchery salmon on wild salmon. Studies showed that hatchery fish that return to other spawning areas may be competing for resources with wild fish. The Assembly's resolution says that more than half of Southeast Alaska's 2024 commercial harvest value came from hatcheries, and a reduction would negatively impact the region's economy. Assembly member Alicia Hughes-Scandes objected, saying she felt the city and borough of Juneau lacked the scientific expertise to weigh in on this issue, and that she would rather the Board of Fisheries use their knowledge to rule on the proposition.
Well, I care about our wild stock tremendously, and I want to make sure fish are going to be here. And if there's any question that the hatchery fish are impacting wild fish and affecting genetic diversity, then I wouldn't want to jump in and say, don't do that. I would want them to review the data and make an informed decision, which I can't do with this.
Douglas Island Pink and Chum, or DIPAC, Hatchery Executive Director Katie Harms attended the meeting to answer questions about the resolution. When asked about the impact of the Assembly not adopting it, Harms said the city would be out of alignment with other Southeast communities whose municipal governments already opposed the resolution.
And then if this proposal at the Board of Fish were to pass, it would lead to significant economic harm in the Juneau community. A 25% reduction in chum salmon production would lead to a likelihood of potential for the two seafood processors in town to be unable to operate year-round.
Harms said that a reduction in hatchery fish would impact DIPAC's future. And a, quote, worst-case scenario, unquote, would be DIPAC closing. The Assembly passed the resolution 7-1, with Hugh Scandies opposing. And as Juneau residents continue to grapple with a housing crunch, the city is looking at new and creative ways to get more homes built. In its latest attempt, the Juneau Assembly approved a series of public land rezones from Douglas Island to Auk Bay to increase the housing density allowed in those areas. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Cars zoom past the wooded land that surrounds Grant Creek on North Douglas Highway on Tuesday morning. It's located just a few minutes beyond the bridge from downtown Juneau. The area is quiet. Nothing but a few single-family homes are nearby, and only a handful of people walk past it on the shoulder of the highway. But soon, that could all change. On Monday, the Juneau Assembly approved rezoning more than 200 acres of city-owned property to increase the housing density in those areas. It includes land north and south of Grant Creek and west of the Bonnie Bray and Blacktail subdivisions on North Douglas. And they also approved rezoning some land in the Auk Bay area.
These resolutions today are actionable steps that will help address the housing shortage in Juneau and allow the community to grow into the cultural and economic hub that's needed to create lifelong residents in Juneau.
That's Michael Riederer, a North Douglas resident who lives adjacent to one of the rezoned lots. He testified in favor of all the rezonings approved by the Assembly at the Monday night meeting.
As a member of a longtime North Douglas family, I have no concerns about the possible additional traffic burden and look forward to seeing new families in the neighborhood.
Rezoning the land to have a higher density means more units can be built there than what was authorized before, so more people can live there. It's just one way the Assembly and city are trying to incentivize developers to build more housing in the borough. That's especially needed as a U.S. Coast Guard icebreaker is slated to be homeported in Juneau, bringing more residents to town in the coming years, and as annual glacier flooding of the Mendenhall River threatens homes in the Mendenhall Valley. Here's Dan Blydorn, the city's land and resource manager, at a previous meeting on the topic.
The market is stuck, and you know, part of this like multiple zone change scenario is to try to get multiple types of city property ready for development or disposal at a future time when plans can be worked on.
Not everyone is on board with the idea. Auk Bay resident Heather Marlowe says she was concerned about landslides and whether people in the rezoned lots could get insurance for their homes if they happened.
As many of you are aware, the area in Southeast Alaska has seen landslides yearly for several years. If this area is rezoned and developed, are we setting up an area that's not considered for landslide coverage?
During previous meetings on the topic, other residents expressed concerns about the increased traffic more housing could bring to the North Douglas area and the lack of access it has to emergency services. North Douglas resident Gary Gillette testified at a Planning Commission meeting in October.
I understand the need to increase housing, but if we do it and put people in harm's way, that's not a service to the community.
He asked the rezones on North Douglas be stalled until a second crossing from Douglas Island to Juneau is built, though that plan is likely years away from even breaking ground. Though the Assembly approved the rezones, it doesn't necessarily guarantee developers will want or will be able to afford to build there. High interest rates and the cost of materials continue to be barriers for many developers from breaking ground on new projects. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And Petersburg is starting out the year nearly snowless, even at high elevations. And that's rare, according to long-term data records kept for the National Resource Conservation Service. Snowpack data is collected at hundreds of sites in Alaska every month during the winter for their snow survey program. The depth and water content of a site's snowpack is measured to use for things like environmental forecasting and water management. Several of the snow survey sites are in Southeast Alaska, and two of them are on Petersburg's Mitkoff Island. The snowpack is measured by U.S. Forest Service staff at over 500 feet of elevation near Petersburg's water reservoir. The other survey site is up to 1,600 feet from sea level at Ravens Ridge. But snowshoes were not necessary to hike to the sites last week. While thick frost covered the ground, data collectors found no snow to record, down from over a dozen inches measured at each site in early December. That's rare for the higher site at Ravens Ridge. The only other time there was zero snow recorded there in January was back in 2026. That's according to nearly five decades of data from consistent snow surveys in Petersburg. Andy Park is a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the lack of snow in Petersburg can be attributed to the weather seen in December, which was significantly drier and warmer than normal. Park says Central Southeast is seeing snowpack measurements that are well below normal, and most of the region needs more snow. Having a healthy snowpack at elevation is important for runoff in the summer, but he says there's still a few months for the region to catch up. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 41 degrees and raining. It looks like there's some heavy rain on the forecast for tonight, with about an inch of rain possible. Tomorrow also looks really rainy, with another inch possible. The rest of the week looks like it'll be rainy, but a little bit less so, with temperatures around 40 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.